We are starting a new series entitled Silent Night, Holy Night, and this morning we're looking at Pregnant with Possibility, and our gospel reading is found in Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. It is a familiar story, but I invite you to listen with a fresh insight this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by his words and pondered what sort of meeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we get started with a new series this morning as we journey to Bethlehem, entitled Silent Night, Holy Night. And this morning we're looking at Pregnant with Possibility. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little boy and girl who were singing their favorite Christmas carol in the church the Sunday before Christmas. And the little boy ended Silent Night by singing "Sleep in Heavenly Beans." Well, his sister elbowed him in the side and said, "No, not beans, peas." Kids, you gotta love them around Christmas time especially. But the truth is, you know, it could be beans or peas. It might as well be, hectic as it always is, anything but heavenly peace. Am I right? And I don't know if you're like me, but I love the Christmas season, despite of the busyness. And I love the Christmas carols. I must tell you that around Christmas time and Easter, this is my favorite service. But don't tell the first service. And the reason is, I just love the old Christmas carols, and I love the great hymns on Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. And Silent Night is just one of the greatest Christmas carols of all times. So in case you didn't know it, this is the 200th anniversary of Silent Night. Did you know that? You go with some fresh fact this morning. Now, it's not going to come around again for some time, so let's enjoy it and celebrate it. And so I think it gives us a good reason to kind of lean into this story with that theme in mind, Silent Night and Holy Night. But when you think about it for a moment this morning, Mary's Christmas Eve, that first Christmas Eve that we think about in that beautiful, blissful scene of the stable and the manger and the stars and the angels and the shepherds and the magi coming, and we think about heavenly peace. This moment when she speaks to the angel is anything but heavenly peace, is it not? In fact, I think it's just sheer fright. But Mary learns to lean into the moment, and she accepts the hope of the Lord, and with that she becomes pregnant with possibility. And so I think there's some great truths for us for faith and life this morning. Think about it for Mary in this moment when the angel comes to her. Now, Mary is engaged to Joseph. They're not yet wed, and Mary is making plans for a wedding. Now, all of us know what a busy time it is to plan for a wedding and all the preparations and all the excitement. But into that moment breaks this angel. We are told that it's the angel Gabriel, the highest of all angels. And he breaks in with this news, but the text tells us this morning that she's greatly troubled, or much afraid. And she's afraid of the unknown, the fear of the unknown. Now, if you're a Hollywood person at all and like movies, maybe one of your favorite movie directors and screenwriters like me is Steven Spielberg. And you recall that Steven Spielberg came to fame with E.T., also produced and directed Saving Private Ryan, Indiana Jones series, just some great movies. But he came to fame with the 1975 horror movie Jaws. Have you seen it? Do you remember it? Jaws, my daughter just got a chance to see that not long ago, and all of a sudden she goes, "Oh man, this is my favorite horror movie. You know, it's just incredible." And for those who study cinematography, realize that Spielberg was absolutely brilliant in the way that he did this movie. And the way he did it was he capitalized on the fear of the unknown. He made a critical decision, which was to not show the actual shark to the very end. You got to see the people being pulled under. You got to see the fin. You got to see an eye now and then and a tooth, but you never got to see the actual shark until the very end. And we're told by psychologists and cinematographers alike that that fear was absolutely paralyzing. And the reason was is that a shark that you can see and a shark that you can size up is a problem. But a shark that you cannot see is a paralyzing fear. And so it was that audiences were absolutely paralyzed with fear. Well, why do I bring that up? Well, it's interesting because Mary had that kind of fear of the unknown this morning, this moment. And do you realize that the phrase, "do not be afraid," is used 365 times in the Old and New Testament? That's a fear and a "do not be afraid" for every day of the entire year. And we're really touched by a lot of fear in life. And so it was with Mary this day. The angel Gabriel comes to her with this news, and Mary is in shock. And the angel says, "do not be afraid," this fear of the unknown. Now, how do we know that? Well, I think we can infer it from looking at verse 34. Well, Mary says, "how will this be? How will this be? How can that possibly take place?" And she's afraid. And I wonder this morning what fear maybe you're wrestling with. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you said, "how can this be?" Maybe it was in a doctor's office, and maybe it was waiting for a CAT scan or an MRI or an X-ray to come through. Maybe it's for the results of those things, or maybe it was a financial difficulty you did not foresee, or maybe a relationship difficulty or missing a loved one at the holiday times, and you say, "how can this be?" Or maybe you just look around our world today and you just say, "how will this be?" Well, I think the good news, if you came to worship this morning with that kind of a fear in your life, that there's some hope in this text. Because the text gives us hope in Mary, who had this very same kind of a fear in a different context. But she found hope by turning to the Lord, and she became pregnant with possibility. And I think so can we too. And I think when we look at the scripture this morning, we find that Mary gives us at least two lessons about how that hope happens in our hearts and lives. And the first lesson is that hope happens one day at a time. You know, when you think about it for a moment, I mean, Mary's pregnancy was really a journey. It wasn't a one-day event. And she had a nine-month process day-to-day that would eventually take her to that stable in Bethlehem and to the birth of Christ. And she had to take it one day at a time. Now, there was lots of things to worry about in the future. She had to prepare a room for the child. She had to prepare baby clothes. There was lots of things that would be unforeseen, like a census about to be taken, and things happened not at home but in Bethlehem. But really, she had to begin the journey one day at a time, and she had to take that journey one day at a time. How many times do you and I, we get worried and tied up about worries and fears that happen down the road? How will this be? How will that be? How's that going to turn out? And we just need enough strength for today. I'm reminded of that famous quote by Mark Twain, who was talking to a writer from the Washington Post in 1910. He was talking about all that he'd been through and some troubles. He said, "you know, I've endured many troubles, many of which never happened." And it's true, isn't it? Many times we worry about things and they never really happen. But if you and I take the journey day by day and have faith and trust in God, that God will see us through. And I think that's what we see in Mary. And I love this verse that Pat read earlier from Lamentations. It says this, "but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." You know, the context of that, the backstory is this, that Jeremiah the prophet, who also wrote the book of Jeremiah, is giving this scripture to us. And Lamentations is really sort of a funeral dirge. In fact, it was written in the wake of Jerusalem being destroyed and the Judean countryside just being laid to waste. And he looked out, and God spoke to him and gave him a word of hope to the people. And he speaks this word, and he's saying here, how does the steadfast love of the Lord come? It comes each and every day, because God's love is there at the dawn of every day and the sunset every night. And we look to him. In fact, Jeremiah was commanded by the Lord to go and buy a piece of property. You know, if there's a war, property values tend to go down. And God told him, we actually have the little signature of that, believe it or not, it was a piece of clay. And we can see where Jeremiah bought that. So it's an amazing sort of artifact that sort of verifies this. But Jeremiah went out to buy a piece of property to give the people hope that throughout the exile, facing all the difficulty and challenge they would face, that day by day they can look to Jeremiah, who had the faith that knows that God will bring them back and that piece of property will be worth something. I'm reminded of the story of the Western Virginia mining accident, and as it's the case sometimes in these mines, there was a cave-in in the mine, and these miners were trapped deep underneath the earth, and they were waiting to be rescued, and of course the workers were on the top of the ground. They were working frantically to dig down and to rescue them, and the miners were there for a number of days, and one by one their lights went out until there was only one light left in one of the miners, and then they were rescued, and of course they were lifted up into the light of the day, and reporters surrounded them and they began to ask them questions. And one reporter asked one of the miners and said, "You know, when you were down there trapped in the darkness and praying, did God somehow give you the light to see the universal hope of the day?" And the miner was a bit of a working class person, and he just answered from his heart truthfully. He said, "Well, God didn't really give me any kind of universal light looking into the sky." He said, "But what I was really appreciative of was that 15 feet of light." And you know, sometimes in our own hearts and lives, we just need that 15 feet of light. Because we walk that 15 feet and there's another 15 feet. And so it was with Mary as she walked 15 feet each day and then the next 15 feet the next day. Hope happens one day at a time. And so in our own lives, sometimes we just need to surrender our fears to God and to take hope each and every day, one step at a time. And the second lesson I learned from Mary is that hope happens when we look to a higher source. And you look at this morning, and by higher source I mean with a capital S there. And listen to what the angel says to Mary as the angel responds to her again. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." You know, as you look at that passage and hear those words of the angel, the first thing is the angel lifts Mary's sight to the Most High. And in the same way, Mary in that moment surrendered her life and found the hope for the day, found pregnant with possibility. And you and I need to look to a source higher than ourselves. If we just look within ourselves, if we face the fear of the unknown and all the fears of life, we'll find that we don't have enough resources. But when we look to God Almighty, all of a sudden we find a source of hope in our life that lets us get through each and every day. I like what the angel promises. He says this, "Nothing will be impossible with God." You know, that's one of the greatest verses of hope in the entire Bible. And many times I've just sort of put a marker in that verse in my Bible and just lifted it to the Lord and committed myself to God. I can think of a number of examples throughout history. One of them is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I've been reading a biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You may recall that Bonhoeffer was a bit of a martyr. He stood up against Hitler in World War II, tried actually to have him assassinated. He was thrown in prison and eventually executed. Bonhoeffer being in prison, and his biographer writes that when the first day of Advent came around, even though that things seemed almost hopeless in his life, and of course there was nothing but destruction and all around him, that Dietrich Bonhoeffer hung an Advent wreath in his prison cell. And the biographer writes that in so doing, Bonhoeffer was making a statement of hope to himself and all the prisoners and even the guards that guarded him, that no matter how difficult things were around him, no matter the destruction and what seemingly was hopeless around him, that he could hope in Almighty God, who's seen through all this, because Christ had come to share our life in a Bethlehem manger. I'm reminded, too, of a great story by Gerald Coffey. He was a prisoner in Vietnam, and Coffey was a fighter pilot who was shot down, and he was put in a prison in Hanoi, and it was Christmas Eve, and the prisoners were laughing and talking, and the guards were as well, and the guards, in a moment of compassion, gave the prisoners some chocolate, and so Gerald Coffey received his, and it was a piece of chocolate in a gold foil wrapper, and so he ate the chocolate. But then he took that gold foil wrapper and he made a star out of it. He took some of the remaining chocolate and sort of put it on that star and then stuck it on the ceiling of his prison cell. And he writes that when he was feeling hopeless, that he'd look up to that star and look to a source of hope higher than himself. And you know, in our own lives, many times we need to look to a hope higher and deeper and more strong than each and every one of us. And Savannah and I, one time, were at the lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center in New York City. And I don't know if you've ever seen that on TV, but we were living in Connecticut at the time. And So I thought, well, we'll take the train into New York and we'll just see this great moment. And so, I mean, talk about crowds. It was just so crowded. And Savannah got to see more than me because I put her on my shoulders, but I got to see about half the Christmas tree. Fortunately, it's really tall. But there was that moment where it's just dark and none of the decorations are lit up. And then they take a moment, they have a countdown, and they light it. They plug it into the source, and all of a sudden it lights up, and it's just amazing. The tree that was dark, when it's plugged into that source, is all of a sudden full of light. And I thought to myself, it was December 2008 when the great financial devastation took place in the fall. And, of course, that was near a lot of the markets. A lot of our friends had been out of work, and it was just a lot of financial devastation. And somehow that was in the air, but when that light came on in the Christmas tree and it just shone so beautifully, I couldn't help but feel a new sense of hope in my own life and all those around me. Maybe folks even who weren't believers up to that moment looked and said and thought to themselves, we need a source of hope higher than ourselves. And I think it's so true. And so when we look around ourselves today, we need a source higher than ourselves. I'm reminded too of Tyler Trent, this young college student who's battling cancer. And I follow him on Twitter, heard some of the interviews that he often talks about how he's sort of facing it day by day, and he shares his faith and shares a scripture verse on Twitter and has been a source of hope and encouragement, but he shares that his source of hope is in a God bigger than him and a source of hope. If you came to worship this morning with that question, how can this be? I mean, maybe it's a financial difficulty, or maybe it's facing a medical condition, and maybe it's the loss of a loved one or some crisis or relationship difficulty and you're not sure how to get through it, then I think the hope and encouragement that we have is to look to Mary, who in these same circumstances found a source of hope in her life and was able to go on. And so we're able to hear that message, do not be afraid, even of the unknown that is ahead of us. And we follow Mary's example, and we find hope as it happens one day at a time. And we find hope as we plug into a source higher than ourselves. And in closing, I want to think of one final thought, which is Mary's final response is, "Here I am." You know, it's an amazing phrase. It's not in all the translations, but I think the best translations have, "Here I am." And you notice that's the very same response that Abraham gave to God, when Abraham was called by God to go to a land of the unknown, a place that he'd never been to before as he followed God's promise. And it's the very same response also when Moses was called from the burning bush. And Moses eventually said, "Here am I." And so it was that Mary, with her response of faith, is, "Here am I." And she became pregnant with possibility. And if you think about it for a moment, I mean, you might be at brunch today, and someone might say, "Well, what did the pastor speak about this morning?" You can say, "The pastor spoke about getting pregnant." Then a dramatic pause with possibility, sort of a pregnant pause, if you will. But here's something interesting, because we sometimes overlook Mary as a great disciple of our Lord. When Mary opened herself to the Holy Spirit, to a source higher than her, she became pregnant with possibility. She was filled with Christ as he began to grow. And in so doing, her life was changed and she changed her world. Mary would shortly go to her relative Elizabeth. And when she would walk through the door, sharing the life that was inside of her, all of a sudden she shared hope with Elizabeth. And I think in the very same way, if you and I respond to God with, "Here am I," and we receive Christ into our life and take Christ into our world, we somehow take a light of hope into our world, just like the Advent candle that was lit not long ago, just moments ago. And if we were to turn out all the lights, then that candle would shine all the more brightly. And so it is with you and I having the life of Christ in our lives, in a way different than Mary, but in another way similar to Mary. You and I have our lives changed. We're filled with hope. But it's not a hope that we keep to ourselves. It's hope that we share with each other as we go out into our world. So this morning, as you face some of the fears of life and you say, "How can this be?" then, like Mary, respond. Let hope happen as you look up to God. Let hope happen as you look to God one day at a time and you look to a higher source and share that hope with others as we go out into our world, pregnant with possibility. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we do face some difficulties in life. There's so many things that are legitimate fears in our life. Perhaps they're medical or financial, relationship, whatever they are, Lord. But we know that you have the answer to everything if we just hold your hand, Lord. And so we reach out, asking you to reach out and touch our lives in a special moment and hope this day. Help us, Lord, to be filled with new possibility through the hope that we find in you, that we can only find in you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said,